Culture and community are pillars of project-based learning. And this applies to you too as a learner, an adult learner. You need to be learning in community. We have you covered. We have an online community. And in this online community, it is different than anyone you've ever experienced. We have a whole section that's filled with resources and courses. You or your teachers can devour those individually, whatever pace you'd like. On the other side, we have a community that's interactive and just in time. Within these communities, we have rooms for content areas, rooms for PBL experience. Maybe you've never even taken a PBL Jumpstart yet. We've got a room for you. We want to help you out right where you're at. Maybe you're PBL certified and you're really looking to innovate someplace different. We have a room for that. We've got tuning protocols. When you ask a question, you will not get crickets. You'll actually get an answer, guaranteed. So go to the show notes, check out the online community. We've got it split out where teachers can look at it. What are the benefits? Administrators, what are the benefits for your school and your staff? Do not PBL alone. You also need to be in community. Welcome to the PBL Simplified Podcast. You're going to love this conversation that I have with Hope Alexander. Hope was a PBL learner, and now she's a PBL facilitator. Like, how cool is that? Like, it's like full circle. It gets a little meta, right? But it's, she's going to talk about the things she loved in a PBL classroom that then inspired her to want to be a PBL facilitator. Now, what I love about these PBL showcases is it's not all like lollipops and rainbows. Like, it's not a direct line. Once her vision is clear, it's still not a direct line to get there, because none of our journeys are really a direct line, right? But she had this vision of, this gave me an awesome experience as a learner, as a student, and I want to provide that for others, and that's my way to change the world. And she knew that the place she was in at her model school in Columbus, CSA New Tech, she knew that that was a special place, and she wanted to be a part of that special place. Like, how cool is that? Like, think about your culture in your school. Are you at a place where your culture in your school is like, you have learners that are like, yes, I love it here. And in fact, I love it so much that I want to go to university and come back to this same place because this is a special place where amazing things happen for kids. Like, what a great goal. Like, that's what your culture should be, that your learners are so fired up that your hiring plan for the next 15 years is to groom your high schoolers, maybe your middle schoolers, into high schoolers that love education and want to come back into your district and your school. That's how magnetic you want your culture to be. That I want to always be a part of it because it's amazing. Man, that's a neat goal. I hope this interview inspires you as much as it inspired me. Enjoy. Hey, PBL Simplified Visionary Leader. Welcome to the podcast again. We've got a PBL showcase. It's a special one because, yeah, we'll look at a couple PBL units possibly. We'll talk through them. But we have a PBL facilitator who was also a PBL learner. So she's been through the continuum of like being in the learner seat and now in the facilitator seat. So super excited for this interview. Hope, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, of course. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. So Hope is teaching in a high school. So she sees 9th through 12th graders. Her main content area is U.S. history or government. But she teaches a lot of integrated courses where she's at. She's at one of our model schools in Columbus, Indiana, which is just a fantastic place to be. If you missed our design days that we held there, you should look for them again in the future. Like, you need to take a tour. You need to go feel the culture here. There's awesomeness all around. So it's a great place to be. So Hope, every guest on the podcast gets the same question to start out with. Mm-hmm. And it's, what is your why for education?
Yeah, I think my why for education is really tied a little bit to my content area, but it's also definitely tied to PBL in general. So I, as a government teacher, really want to prepare people to be citizens of the United States, but also participants in the world around them. So that is my big why, is I want to prepare students for what the world is going to throw at them, what issues they're going to face in life. And I think PBL gives me the opportunity to explore that in a more applicable way than traditional learning. So really the combination of helping students become better citizens and politically knowledgeable, but also giving them the opportunity to apply all these things that they are going to learn about in government and U.S. history.
Yeah, that's so good. I love that. that's a why worth working really hard for, right? Yeah. It's like, that's, and it's a generational why. Like, that's what I think is really important and really exciting about education is like, as you empower this generation, like they then create the next generation. And right. So you can be in this empowered household that understands government and has the role. And it starts with you and, yeah. and you being fired up about PBL and government. So super excited that you're in the classroom right now. Now, you were in the classroom, a PBL classroom as a learner, though. Mm-hmm. So can you walk us through a little bit, like just kind of give us an overview of how you ended up in a PBL classroom?
Yeah. So having graduated from a PBL school in a pretty early model of it as well, I was always, it affected me a lot as a learner, and it really made an impact on my interest in school. And so knowing that it could have that impact, I was always interested when I went into college in pursuing PBL, like if I were to go into teaching. So I started my undergraduate degree in secondary education, moved around a lot, and actually ended up with my bachelor's in political science. Okay. But I knew that at some point I was going to end back up teaching. I just didn't know exactly what it would look like. First, I thought I wanted to get my PhD, so I tried that for a little bit. I did not like it.
Yeah.
And then I had to take some time and think about, like, what do I really want to do, and what do I want to get out of that? And so for me, it came back to that why of, like, what impact do I want to have on the world? So I knew that I had all this knowledge in political science and in history. And I had spent 3 or 4 years working in restaurants, and I always have been like a very academic minded people's or minded kind of person. And so between that knowledge, kind of like loving school, and the people skills that I picked up being a server, I knew that education was where I needed to be.
Yeah.
And I knew that I wanted to give back not only to PBL, but specifically to this school, because this school to me, particularly as a 14 to 18 year old, was kind of everything. And so like knowing the impact that it can have on one student, let alone more than that, just that one student, was really like what led me back here.
Wow. That's so good. Like, we've got a lot of principals and teachers listening, and like, that's what you want your students to say, like when you leave that building, like, I just want to come back here and like give back. Like, that's so cool. How do you, if we dive into PBL a little bit here, like I heard some things in your college journey that are probably, if we pull that thread, it probably comes back to PBL, but how do you think PBL kind of affected your college world?
I definitely felt more prepared than a lot of my peers in terms of just the course load of college and a lot of the skills and expectations that they had out of us. They wanted us to be good oral communicators, for instance. I had to take public speaking as a freshman in college. And although I did still learn some really new things from that, like I used to trail off a lot at the end of my sentences and speak really fast, I still felt that I had an advantage over some of the people that were coming in and had never had to talk to a large group of people. And also, I know when I was in English 12, I had Michelle Antcliffe, and we, between English 12 and our senior projects and even English 11, we spent a lot of time working on APA. And so I felt that I had that skill a lot more under wraps than some of the other people coming in. And just knowing that the possibilities were kind of limitless really helped me just do what I wanted to do.
Yeah. Oh, that is so good. So one, you can always give a shout out to Rochelle Antcliffe. Like,
of course,
we love Rochelle, who's our director of training now at Magnify Learning and a fantastic coach and human being. But I love that you also pulled out like APA, like that's a standards based, like geeky portion, right? Of like high school. And I just want our listeners to know, like, that's why I want to pull it out. Like, our listener might be like on the fence of PBL. Like, we have some, like, for sure, like we're doing PBL for sure. We also have some people that are on the fence. So it's like, it's not like you were super prepared, both like academically, right? Like, it wasn't just all fluff and vision and those types of things. But I love, and I wish I would have had in college, you just had this idea of like, you could do anything. So, right? So you should find out what you love and that's what you want to do. How cool is that?
Yeah. And I think that is what, and ultimately led me to get that degree in political science instead of initially going for education. And while it took me a little bit longer to get into my first teaching position, I wouldn't change any of it.
Yeah, it's so good.
One of the biggest things that PBL did for me as a student and going into life was learning how to reflect how to learn from your actions, from your mistakes, from what went well and what did not go well. Having that skill helped me, like, not only in my personal life, but also in my academic life.
That's so good. John Maxwell says that experience is not the best teacher, but evaluated experience is the best teacher. Mm-hmm. So, right. So that reflection is so important.
Yeah. Absolutely.
As you're listening, like I'm having trouble going to the next question because like this is all gold, right? Like sometimes when people are saying, well, I don't know if we should go to PBL. I don't know what it does for our kids in college. It's like it gives them a purpose for college, right? And for life. Like I love that you tied in like serving and political science, right? Like not normally a match, but you're like looking for skills that you can build wherever you're at.
Yeah.
Can we attribute that back to PBL? Like how would you bring that back?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, just in every project, at the end of a project, we reflect and we say, okay, what about this project went well? What are the areas that I individually can look at and do better next time? How can I get to that spot where I'm going to do better next time? And like I said, this helped me academically, like in political science, in revising papers, revising projects, doing research, but also really made a huge impact on my personal life. Being able to take a step back and say, okay, like, here's the situation, here's my role in it, and here's what I need to do to move forward.
Yeah, that's brilliant. That's so good. Can you take us back to your high school career? And is there a PBL unit that you can kind of point out that was really impactful for you?
Yeah. My favorite one, and I did it last year as well, and that I still remember just about every detail of. There are a lot of them that I would say I remember a lot of details of. But this one in particular was called Nefarious Deeds. And this project has existed at CSA for a long time, and it has come back in different iterations. But Nefarious Deeds focuses on times in U.S. history when the government failed the people. And so that idea was really interesting to me. And then what we did was take that concept, this theme of history, and we also studied English at the same time. So we read about symbolism, about, I can't remember, propaganda was a really big one that we talked about. Mm-hmm. The topic that I had, for instance, was the Red Scare. So that was a really nice tie-in of that content together. But the product that we put together, I think, is what really made me remember the project for a long time. So we created museum displays that were based on whatever the U.S. history topic we had was. And so we were learning about all these different concepts. We were learning about what you might not necessarily think about learning about in a U.S. history class, which is times when things didn't go well. Mm. And we also were able to apply a lot of the research and writing skills that we had learned throughout the year into the production and display of our museum exhibits. And so I'm going to be really honest. My display was kind of terrible. but even though I didn't feel like I was successful in my final product there, I loved that project. I did it last year with my students, and they really responded well to it. And it has stuck in my brain for what is now 11 years.
Yeah. Well, it seems like it also fed towards your major, right?
It absolutely did. It is a big part of why I wanted to become a teacher was the class that I teach now just made me really enjoy history in a way that I don't know that I did before.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. So
weird and full circle, but also cool.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Let's go right there. So you are a facilitator at the same high school that you attended. Like, how does that feel? Just how does that feel being in that spot?
Sometimes it's a little weird, but a lot of it feels exactly the same. Mm. Obviously, on the other side of it, so my role is very different. I have the same principal who was here when I graduated. And there are a few other people that are still here that were here when I graduated. And so even though I'm working with a different group of people primarily, the culture of the school is still the same. And that was one of the things I think that really kept me at CSA and why it had such a big impact on me as a person. And so that culture of support and family and trust and respect and responsibility is still there. And I don't think I've ever seen it the same way anywhere else other than in this building.
Oh, it's a special place for sure. But, and I just want to pull that thread just a little bit too, on the importance of culture, like, right. Like, it keeps kids in school there, right? It's bringing facilitators back, turning learners into facilitators. Like, that's how strong a really positive culture can be.
And it really helps us build positive relationships.
Go ahead.
And I know other educators know this, the importance of having a positive relationship with a student. It can have such an impact on what you get out of them and how much you can help them grow. So having that culture has felt like a huge advantage to me in terms of my first and second year of teaching.
Yeah, that's neat. This is an interesting question. I don't know where it'll go, actually. So a lot of our PBL schools, our model schools, have great cultures.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you have to be a PBL school to have a great culture. Mm-hmm. Like, what would you say is the connection between culture and project-based learning?
Creativity is a really big thing. Mm-hmm. And the ability for students to explore their own learning. So knowing that there's some kind of final product that we're going to have to put together, and that by doing that, we're going to get to explore more specifically one part of the content. So if we were studying World War II, for instance, and I was really interested in the role of women in World War II, I could get with a group and say, okay, this is the topic that we're going to pursue because this is what we're interested in. So it goes partially back to that student voice and choice.
Mm-hmm.
And letting students kind of pursue what they're more interested in. And I don't remember what I was saying. I'm sorry.
No, I think you nailed it. So when you're allowing students to go after their interests, you're saying your interests are important, right? Like, the things that you believe are important, we believe are important, right? So we're on the same team on this. And that validation is huge for a teenager,
absolutely,
right? So I think you nailed that. So those are some things that are the same when you were there. Are there some things that are different now that you're on the other side of the equation?
Yeah. So I started in 2022. So coming in 2022 was interesting in and of itself, coming out of the back end of the pandemic. So I can feel that there was a shift a little bit during that time. And I know that now we are coming back into a world where we're able to do projects full on. So I think some of the kids were a little almost nervous about that, about doing large scale projects.
Okay.
But I don't feel that I was ever held back by that. And it helped that last year I was teaching with Joe Steele, who is a PBL rock star.
Yep.
And we both just had a lot of big ideas and we ran with them and we made some really awesome projects out of it. So even though there was that little bit of a shift in terms of, I think maybe the authenticity and the size of PBLs during COVID, I think we've come back to a time where we're able to do that. We can have community partners in the building and we can host events and plan things more large scale. Trying to think if there's anything else that's really different. Other than we have a different staff, and I would almost expect that. It's been 10 years. But really, a lot of it does feel the same, again, because it comes down to that culture. And that culture is what you feel when you walk into the building and when you walk through the halls and you interact with the students. So it's been different being on the side, but it has been just as fun, if not more fun.
Yeah, it's so cool. And we love Joe, of course. It's hard not to. He was on the podcast. He's episode 143 for our listeners. Go and grab that one too. We actually titled it Hitting Standards with PBL, but it could have easily been titled just Awesome Things in Project-Based Learning, right?
Absolutely.
But what a testament to the culture and the foundation that's there, that there are going to be different people, right? Like, staff is going to change. They may move on to a different position or whatever may happen. but the culture's there, and mm-hmm. it's so strong that you can plug in new team members and it keeps moving.
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you attribute to that? Because I mean, that's something every principal listening wants, right? Is a culture that, you know, you can plug into and you're immediately kind of swept down the stream of awesomeness.
I think a lot of it is the expectation that comes from our administration. So our principal is Mike Reed, and he very much is, this is a wall-to-wall PBL building. And that is the expectation for all of us. Yeah. I think we fell behind a little bit during COVID, but last summer we made sure that every person coming into this building this year was PBL trained at least PBL 101 or Jumpstart. Mm-hmm. And we had, I think I was the only one that did advanced. And then we've got people that, the people that did Jumpstart this summer will now do advanced next summer. And we're trying to work to make sure we're all certified as well.
Yeah. So you've got a commitment from administration, right? That has a vision.
Expectations and clarity are a really big thing. And also support from administration, from other teachers, and just the team as a whole. We very much rely on each other for everything from advice to support to lunch buddies.
Yeah, that's right.
We're very, very, very close-knit.
The way we grow this podcast is through you, the listener. When you rate, review, and share this podcast, we can help other principals achieve their vision, teachers find joy in their journey, and more learners become empowered. The one ask I have of you is to take 2 minutes to leave a review. It helps us get PBL out to more schools, and more importantly, your review just might be the nudge someone needs to start their PBL journey, which will transform education for their learners. So, on the facilitator side, you mentioned Nefarious Deeds as an awesome PBL unit. Do you have another one that's kind of been a favorite?
Out of the ones that we did last year, Nefarious Deeds was probably my favorite. But if I had to pick a second, it would probably either the Veterans Day event that we put together, or, and this is what Joe talked about on his episode of the project or of the podcast, we called it Agents of Change. Mm-hmm. And this project started off really exciting. And I remember listening to that podcast and Joe was so excited. It was the day we launched it.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
It actually didn't turn out panning out the way that we wanted it to. But I think we had the foundation to do it again this year and make it even better, which I found so exciting.
Well, I thought that was one of the neat things about Joe's episode, which again, I think is 147, did I say? I lied. It was 143. Because you should go back, listener, you should go back and grab that, because it was neat because Joe was totally okay and transparent with, we're launching this thing now and I anticipate it being awesome, but we don't totally know, right? Because it was kind of a newer one. And now I hear you on the back end kind of saying, it didn't go exactly where we wanted to, but man, I'm fired up for next time, right?
Yeah.
That's growth mindset times 100, right? That you guys are just, figuring this out because you know it's worth it.
Yeah, and I think that goes back to what I was talking about earlier, the importance of reflection, how we teach that throughout the 4 years that were there with us here, like the importance of that. And because I have spent the last 14 years now reflecting so deeply, like something going wrong, I'm like, okay, like what now? Like how do I improve?
Yep, that's so good. That's gold. So one last question, I think, unless we rabbit trail, which would be fine, but I mentioned we have some listeners that, podcasts are just the way that we learn about things these days. So we have some principals that are listening that, are thinking about project-based learning. What would you say to a principal who's on the fence about moving towards PBL?
I would say the number one thing to think about when moving to PBL is that it has the potential to have lifelong impacts on students. You can make students lifelong learners if you build those relationships, if you have a good culture, if you teach them how to reflect, and they can take those skills and use them in so many different avenues of life. And that's what I'm doing now. And so I would always highly recommend moving to PBL. I'm a little biased, but I'm obsessed with it. So do it.
Because it worked, right?
Like, yeah, it does.
Right. So we do things that work, and this worked when you were a teenager, and now you're instilling this in, this next generation. That's hope, man. That's hope for the future, and hope's on the podcast. Oh no.
Yeah, Matt, like, we, that one.
Yeah, fair enough. Maybe it was too easy, but Hope, what, give us one last gem of like this, because I love this podcast episode because it is, it answers a lot of questions that principals ask, right? Like from learner to facilitator, you've seen both sides. What's one last piece that you might leave us with, you know, as you look at this journey?
I really do just, I just go back to that idea of creating lifelong learners. Mm-hmm. And so many educators struggle with, they have this why, but they don't know how to make it happen. And PBL makes those whys happen.
That's good. And it's worth fighting for. It's worth working really hard for. So good. Hope, thank you for coming on to the podcast to share your story. And thank you for the work you're doing in the classroom. It's awesome.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure.
All right, visionary learners, you heard just some awesome things. I don't even know how to recap this. Like, you got to hear somebody that was in PBL as a teenager, and it was so impactful that she said, hey, I've got to do this, you know, for the next decade or two of my life. I don't want to speak for her for the other decades, but she said, I've got to instill this in the next generation. Like, that's how powerful this can be. So isn't that worth investigating a bit more? Isn't that worth a tour to go see CSA New Tech, right? Like, let's go check it out. It's probably worth it, right? To start to dabble, to get started. So start somewhere. And as you do that, you'll engage your learners, you'll tackle boredom, and you'll transform your classrooms. So go lead inspired. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the PBL Simplified Podcast. I appreciate you. I'm honored that you tune in each week. Would you please take 2 minutes to leave a rating and a review? When you leave a review, it lets the next person know that this is a podcast worth listening to. When they go into their player and search project-based learning and PBL Simplified popped up, when they see those reviews, they know that high-quality visionary leaders are listening. So they tune in too, and they can find their way into the PBL journey. Thank you so much for leaving a review. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate you.